Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Meir Turin. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Aaron Kaufman, Rosh Yeshivas Ateres Shmuel of Waterbury.
The daf we'll be talking about today is Maseches Yevamos, daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Now Rav on daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis on the very bottom says the following memra. Amar Rav Hilchasad Alacha is Echad Sandu Hamusgar, whether one has a shoe with a confined nega, ve'echad sandal hamuchlit, or a shoe with a confirmed nega, ve'echad sandal shal v'diskei chavim, or a shoe of avedizara lay tachlis, it cannot be used l'chatzchila for chalitza. However, in all these cases, in chalitza, chalitza sekshera, b'di'eved, if the chalitza is done, the chalitza is valid. Now, what is the case of a sandal shal v'diskei chavim? Rashi explains that they would place a shoe on the tselem, on the avodah zarah, on its foot, kishemisayin aisei mimakim lemakim, when they would transport the avodah zarah from place to place, pashtis, in order that the avodah zarah should not become damaged, they would place a shoe on the foot of the avodah zarah. And the reason the chalitza is kasher b'di'eved is because this shoe is functioning with the function of a shoe on the foot of the avodah zarah, and therefore it has a shem minol, a shem shoe. Now, the halacha is that mishamshe avodah zarah, Rashi explains, are not with sreifa kaima. We don't view it as if that it's aimed for certain to be burnt, because islu takanta v'bitul, if the guy will decide to mevatel the avodah zarah, this item will now become mutter. Taisus brings down this svara of Rashi that since the guy has the ability to mevatel the avodah zarah, therefore cannot be viewed as mechtav shiurei, as if the shear is already broken up, even though the guy at this point was not yet mevatel it. And he says that's the same shat in the Gemara Masechtas Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara teaches us that a shofar avodah zarah lo yiska l'chatchila cannot be used for tekiyah shofar. However, im taka yatze b'di'eved, if you use it b'di'eved you're yotze. However, Taisus has a problem with this mahalach because the sugya Masechtas Chulin in the end of Parakisei Adam on Daf Peites Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says over there that a shofar avodah zarah, not only l'chatchila can you not be tekeh with it, but even b'di'eved im taka bay lo yatza. And the Gemara over there explains the reason being because avodah zarah is kesusei mechtas shiurei. Avodah zarah is considered as if it's broken up, and therefore you do not have the proper shear. So we seem to have a contradiction on our hands. On the one hand, the sugya in Yevamos and in Rosh Hashanah hold that b'di'eved it is not considered ksusei mechtas shiurei, and yet the sugya in Chulin says clearly that even b'di'eved the shofar is no good. Taisus brings down two possible answers to resolve this contradiction. Taisus' answer is that over there in the sugya Masechtas Chulin, we're talking about an avodah zarah which is owned by a Jew. And the din is that avodah zarah owned by a Jew, leisagi bebitul, it's not good enough for a Jew to mevatel it, and will still retain its halacha of an avodah zarah. And he says the Gemara in Perek Lulav of HaGazel in Sukkah on the Aflam and Aleph on the Beis answers this very same answer. On this, that Rava says over there that a lulav of avodah zarah lo yitol, a person should not take. However, im natal yatze b'yavet he's yaitze. Over there, the Gemara asks a contradiction from the Mishnah that says that a lulav of an asherichi of avodah zarah is possible even b'yavet. And on there, the Gemara answers that the Mishnah apostles even b'yavet is talking about asherah d'maisha, which means that when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, those asherahs that they found, and they were kinda, now became avodah zarahs of Yisrael, and since you cannot be mevatel it, like it says in the pasuk, Ashireim tisufum be'esh, the only eitzah is to burn it, therefore it's ksusei mechta shiurei, and one is not yaitze with such a lulav even b'di'eved, and so explains the Ran over there, Masech the Sukkah as well. If so, Taisus says we can apply the same thing over here. The sugya in Yevamos that says a shoe of chalitza that's from avodah zarah is okay b'di'eved. And who had in the sugya Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that says if someone uses a shofar of avodah zarah b'di'eved he's yaitzei is talking about specifically an avodah zarah belonging to a non-Jew. And since you're able to mevatel it, therefore we cannot view it as if it's ksusei mechtas shiurei. Masha'enkein, the sugya Masechtas Chulin that says one is not yaitzei with the shofar even b'di'eved, because we do view it as ksusei mechtas shiurei, it's talking about a shofar of a desire that belongs to a Yisrael, which over there, bittul, does not help. However, Rabbeinu Tam has a different approach how to resolve the stiras hasugyas. Rabbeinu Tam says we can be talking about in all the cases, even in the sugya of chulin, is talking about an avodah zarah which is owned by a guy, by a non-Jew. Just the nafkamina between the sugya over here in Yavamis and the Masechta Rosh Hashanah from the sugya in chulin is that over here we're talking about after bittul, where the guy was already mevatel the avodah zarah, and that's why it says b'di'eved the shu could be used for chalitza. And the sugya in Rosh Hashanah says, b'di'eved, the shofar is kosher. Masha'enke in the sugya in Chulun that says, it's even possible, b'di'eved is talking about kainim bittul, is talking about before the guy was mevatel the avodah zarah. Now Rabbeinu Tam explains, if indeed the pshat is like he's saying, that the sugya in Rosh Hashanah and Yevamis is talking about even after a bittul, after the guy was already mevatel his avodah zarah, so now it's not an avodah zarah anymore. So why does the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah say, l'chatchila, it cannot be used as a shayfer? And how come the sugya in Yevamis says, l'chatchila, this shoe cannot be used for chalitza? Rabbeinu Tam comes along with a tremendous chiddush. Zokt Rabbeinu Tam, because even though true, granted, it's not an avodah zarah anymore, but still, l'chatchila cannot be used for the shoe of chalitza, nor to be used for the shayfer of Rosh Hashanah, because ma'as l'inyan mitzvah. As far as a mitzvah purpose is concerned, it is mius, it is considered disgusting, because at one point, this object had a shem avodah zarah upon it. Number one, we see from Rabbeinu Tam, a big yisayid, that he considers chalitza to be a mitzvah, and like we talked about ba'arichas in the shir, in the beginning of this parak, and this yisayid really we see from Rashi as well, on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi Devar Amaschil Chalitzasak Sheira, where Rashi asks a question, why is a sandal of avodah zarah kasher for chalitza? Isn't the person getting pleasure from the avodah zarah? On that Rashi answers, well, mitzvahs lav lehanes nitnu. The mitzvahs were not given to be a source of pleasure. So therefore, there's no issue. From Rashi as well, we see that he views chalitza as a mitzvah. But al kopanim, Taisus is now telling us, b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, a yisoid, the Rabbeinu Tam says, though this object is not anymore an avodah zarah, as far as a mitzvah purpose is concerned, l'chatchila, it is not to be used because it is mias. Then Taisus says a tremendous yisoid. Even if we'll say that when it comes to the shayfer, and when it comes to the shul of chalitza, Rabbeinu Tam says l'chatchila cannot be used because ma'as l'inyan mitzvah, afilu hachi, when it comes to the mitzvah of kisei hadam, after one performs the shchita, covering over the blood, over there Taisus says, even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that afar of an avodah zarah, of ir hanidachas, even l'chatchila, can be used for the mitzvah of kisei hadam. And Taisus just says, because le'dam ya kisei l'chalitza, kisei is not similar to chalitza, le'inyin kisei le'chai shinon l'mius. When it comes to kisei hadam, we are not concerned for the issue of mius. So we have to understand what exactly is the svar of Taisus. Why is it so pasha by Taisus that there's a nafkamina between kisei adam and the mitzvah of shayfer and chalitza, where though there's this issue of mius when it comes to shayfer and chalitza, by kisei adam there is no issue. Well, chayro, we could be mechalik between tkiya shayfer and chalitza and kisei adam in the following way. We find two different types of mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs, the ikar mitzvah is the taitzah, the outcome that comes about from the mitzvah. And we find other mitzvahs where the actual mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah which is performed. One can say when it comes to tkiya shayfer and chalitzas hasandal, over there the ikar maisa mitzvah is the action, the blowing of the shayfer and the removing of the shoe. Mashenken by kisei adam, the yisayid of the mitzvah over there is, the ikar mitzvah is the outcome, that the blood should be covered over. A raya to this one can bring from the sugya Masechta Sukkah and Masechta Chul, which teaches us that kiso haruach, the mitzvah is nidcha. If the wind came and blew dirt over the blood and now the blood is entirely covered, the mitzvah now is not applicable anymore. Because at the end of the day, the blood now is covered. Asha'enke, when it comes to a shayfer, when it comes to chalitza sasandal, that is pashut, that if a wind would blow and cause the sound of the shayfer to come out, or a wind would blow off the shoe, off the yavam, of course the din is that a person still must go back and blow the shayfer and remove the shoe. Because over there, the ikar mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, the action of mitzvah, the removing of the shoe and the blowing of the shayfer. And therefore, there's a tremendous nafkamina when we want to look at the object of mitzvah. When it comes to shofar, and when it comes to chalitza, since the ikar mitzvah is blowing in a shofar, removing the shoe, therefore the shoe and shofar have a status of a chefet shel mitzvah, an object of mitzvah. And therefore, and only there, did Rabbeinu Tam say his svara, that once this object was once used for an avodah zarah, it is meis to go ahead and now use it for a mitzvah. Because the mitzvah entails directly the action of using this object, blowing a shofar, and going ahead removing the shoe. Masha'enke, when it comes to kisi adam, though true, there is a tnai, it must be covered with dirt. However, since the ikar mitzvah is the outcome, the fact that the blood is covered, and it's just a hechetimsa, it's more a tnai ba'alma, that one has to have dirt covering it, therefore it's not viewed as the mitzvah is to go ahead to cover with dirt. The mitzvah is to make sure the blood is covered. And therefore we don't view the dirt as a chefet shel mitzvah, an object of mitzvah, that there should be an issue of mi'as to go ahead and use it if it was once used for avodah zarah. It would seem to be that this is what the Emek Bracha means as well. The Emek Bracha on Daf Tzadi Hei Amid Aleph in Daf Hei HaSefer in Inyanei Luav Eis Zayin writes the following. Nirla ni estaiti kavanas taisis sloimer, would seem to me that the kavana of taisis is to say, the hadahayel of Shema Vaidzara humas l'mitzvah, that this we find that an object that had a Shema Vaidzara on it now becomes ma'az for a mitzvah, le'shayich zeh ele'im hunasa chefet ha-mitzvah. That is only applicable if this object itself becomes an object of mitzvah. Va'al kein, therefore, le'inin shayfer v'sandel shechalitza, da'vechefta shal mitzvah, pasul chatzchila. Therefore, as far as shayfer and sandal is concerned, where it is an object of mitzvah, it is pasul chatzchila to be used. Avol b'kisi adam, ashenkim, when it comes to the mitzvah of kisi adam, ein ha'afer nechshav l'chefta shal mitzvah. The dirt itself is not considered an object of mitzvah. Ve'ena mitzvah ma'isa kisui grade the elishem ma'isa kisui tzarech liyais ba'afar. The ikar mitzvah is the ma'isa kisui, which needs to be done ba'afar, but it's not considered a chefet shel mitzvah. It's not clear, he doesn't stress exactly by kisui adam why he does not view the afar as a chefet shel mitzvah, but it would seem to be, perhaps al darech what we're saying, that when it comes to shofar and chalitza, the mitzvah is to do an action with this object, to go ahead and blow shofar, using the shofar to remove the shoe of chalitza from the foot of the yavam. Asha'enken, when it comes to kisi adam, the mitzvah is not to do an action with this dirt. Rather, the mitzvah is the outcome, the fact that the blood should be covered over. And therefore, we don't view the offer on that same level of being considered a chefet shel mitzvah, an object of mitzvah. Another raya to this yesod that kisi adam is different than shofar and chalitza is we find in the Rashbam in Parshas Achrei Mais, where the Rashbam writes that the purpose of putting the dirt on top of the blood is a siyag, sort of like a gate, to prevent a person from the isser of achilas dam, of coming to eat blood. Over there as well, we see the ikar yesod hamitzvah is the tzitza, the fact that the blood should be covered, that someone should not come to eating the dam. Huad din the chinuch over there in Parshas Achrei Mais as well writes that the tam of kisei adam is that a person should not get a midas achzarius benafshei. He should not become a cruel person by going ahead eating meat of an animal, eating meat while the blood is still lying in front of you, and therefore the blood must be covered first before you partake from the meat. Over there as well, the purpose is that the blood should be covered from the eye. The person should not be seeing the blood. And therefore we understand why indeed the halacha is by kisoa ruach, once the wind blows over and covers the dam, there is no makam anymore for the mitzvah. One, however, can ask a question that we can understand by the shua of chalitza. Perhaps over there the gather of the mitzvah is the action of removing the shoe, doing a mitzvah with this object. But however, when it comes to tekiah shofar, it would seem that over there the mitzvah is not blowing in the shofar. After all, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mehilchah Shofar writes clearly the mitzvah is l'shmaya kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. Yet over here we're saying that the mitzvah according to Rabbeinu Tam is the blowing of the shofar, and therefore the shofar is viewed as a chefet shel mitzvah. But this is good because the Rash in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, in the end of Simen Yud, indeed brings down Meshem Rabbeinu Tam that the bracha that is to be made on Tekiah Shofar is not L'shmaya Kol Shofar, which is Ar Minog, but rather the bracha should be Al Tekiah Shofar, on the blowing of the Shofar. And the Achrayim are medayik in Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that he indeed holds that the mitzvah of tekiah shayfer is the blowing of the shayfer, not the listening to the kol shayfer. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam l'shitasei holds the shayfer is then viewed as the chafta shel mitzvah, and therefore there is an issue of mias if it was once used for avodah zarah. The Gemara further teaches us that a sandal of takruvus avodah zarah lay tachlites, a shoe which was brought as takruvus avodah zarah, cannot be used for chalitza. The chalitza psula, even b'di'eved, the chalitza is no good. Rashi explains what is the case of a sandal of takruvus avodah zarah. Rashi says sheikrivu amastru lefanav l'shem dairin, that it was brought in front of the avodah zarah as a present. The kaimelam meseftes avodah zarah dafnun dalad amin aleph. We paskin in meseftes avodah zarah dafnun dalad amin aleph. The takruvus shel avodah zarah ein la bitul elamis, that takruvus avodah zarah can never be nispato. The iskish lemeis, it is hukesh to a dead body, which is the isra hana. The siv ayoichu mizivchei meisim. Hilkach leisle takanta, therefore there is no etza for this item, because mechtas shiurei, and the shoe of chalitza is considered broken up. Ask all the Rishonim on Rashi, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritzva, and the Meiri, because we paskin meseftes avodah zarah on dafnuna mebeis, that in order for something to be bechlal the isra of takruvus avodah zarah, it needs to be bedafka something that it was done in it ke'en pnim. The hainu, for example, if a person throws a stick in front of the avodah zarah, the din is that it does not become takruvus avodah zarah, because since by the Beis Hamikdash, zrika was with down with blood, and by blood it's splattered about as you throw it. Therefore, din zrika of a makal is not daima to ke'en pnim, to zrika mishtaberes, and therefore it does not become takruvus avodah zarah. Therefore, the Rishonim ask over here where the person just brought this shoe and placed it in front of the avodah zarah, it's not ke'en pnim, and therefore it should not be b'chal the iser takruvus. Therefore, the Rishonim learn different pshat in the Gemara than Rashi. They learn the pshat in the Gemara is a person first shechted the animal l'avodah zarah. If so, there already was the action of shchita, which is ke'em pnim, and the person did it l'shem avodah zarah. Therefore, now this animal becomes aser al takruvus avodah zarah, and then from the hide of the animal, a person made a shoe, and he wants to use it for chalitza. On this we say that no, it is aser to be used for chalitza. So we have to understand, what does Rashi do with this question? The Meiri over here wants to say that perhaps we're talking about katzay mitzchil l'kach. First, he cut it to size, l'shem avodah zarah, and therefore that cutting has a status like shchita, and therefore it's ke'em pnim, and so writes the Hemek She'ela, that is the kavanah of Rashi here as well. However, it's a little bit hard to understand that's what Rashi means to say. Rashi l'chera should have spoken this out. If in order to become takruvus, Rashi held it needs that originally when it was cut down, it was cut l'shem avodah zarah. Unless you'll say that Rashi does add in one extra word, Rashi doesn't just say masru l'fana l'shem dairim, but Rashi first adds the word hikrivuhu, and perhaps Rashi means to say, like the Hemek She'ela and the Meiri, that it was first hikrivuhu, first cut l'shem avodah zarah, and then it was brought in front of the avodah zarah. However, it's a little bit still hard to understand this pshat of Rashi. Rashi l'chaira should have spoken out such an integral point. Comes along the Aruch Liner, and the Aruch Liner says that Rashi did not want to learn like the other Rishonim. They were talking about that first the person shechted the animal, l'shem avodah zarah, and then from that animal he made a sandal. He says that's not meduyik in the Lashon HaGemara. Rashi held the language the Gemara uses, sandal, shel takruvus avodah zarah, is mashma, that the sandal itself is the takruvus avodah zarah. According to these Rishonim, Rashi held the Gemara should have said, sandal she'asu mei takruvus avodah zarah, a shoe that was made from takruvus avodah zarah. And therefore, Rashi did not want to learn like the other Rishonim. Now, as far as the Rishonim's question that the sugya of avodah zarah is very clear, that in order for something to become takruvus, it needs to be ke'en pnim. On this, the Aruch Liner writes that Rashi be'emes goes l'shitasei. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, Rava says a memra, Lulav Shal Avodah Zarah, Lo Yito, a Lulav Avodah Zarah, one cannot take. And over there, Rashi explains in his second Pirish, the Zelishinish, Avodasa Belulav Lahavir Lufanov, that this Avodah Zarah in Derech of Avodah was that they wave a Lulav in front of it. On this, asked the Kapis Tamarim, but how does this become Asr for Takus Avodah Zarah? We know there's a tnai that you need dafka ke'ein pnim. On this, the Shaar Melech and Hilchas Lulav and Parichas Halacha Aleph brings down that he found b'shem Rabbeinu Yoina from the Sefer Meiri, that something which was found in the Makom of the Avodah Zarah itself becomes Aser Alts Takruvis, even if it's not ke'ein Avodas Pnim. And so is the Shittas HaRambam, and so is Shittas Rashi. And therefore Rashi in Masechta Sukkah learns that since they pass the Lulav in front of the Avodah Zarah itself, therefore the Lulav becomes Aser even without having Ke'en Pnim. This Tanai that needs to be Dafka Ke'en Pnim is only when it's not in front of the Avodah Zarah itself. And therefore Rashi over here goes L'shitasai, that to bring the shoe and place it as a diron in front of the Avodah Zarah itself, that Rashi holds becomes Aser of Sakruvis, even without the Tanai of Ke'en Pnim. So we have here a tremendous machlokes Rishonim, between the Rishonim and Rashi, about this Yesod, that you need Ke'en Pnim in order for something to become Takrubis Avodah Zarah. Now there's a fascinating question that came before Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv brings it down in Kovitz Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph Yerideya, Simen Ayin Zayin. And the question was, with Peis Nacharius wigs that were made Misarisein Shal Avdei Alilim Hagarim Bahaydu, wigs, shetels that were made out of hair of Avdei Avodah Zarah who live in India, Shehem Mestapim L'Avodah Zarah Shalem, that they cut off their hair L'Shem Avodah Zarah. And the question was, we know Takruvus Avodah Zarah is Aser B'Hana, and is one allowed to go ahead and be Nene from these shetels made out of the hair of the Avdei Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yashiv writes over there in the Tshuva, that in Yerideya Simin Kuflam Etes, if Beis is Mavur, that something which is not actually brought on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, like for example here, the only time it could become Aser Midin Takruvis is only if it was done in the object, Ke'en Zvicha, Ke'en Zrika Mishtabaris, and Avayda Ke'en Pnim, like a Shrita or a Zrika Mishtabaris. And therefore, Kol Zman, that the Avodah Zarah Avid on a certain object, for example, their Avodah Zarah with a stick, if they go ahead and they break the stick, therefore the stick becomes now Aser, because the Shviris HaMakal is similar to a Zvicha, and therefore it is Aser Al Tzakruvus Avodah Zarah. However, if people do not do an Avodah at all with this stick, so the din is, even if it's broken, L'shem Avodah Zarah, that makes no difference. So Dr. Rabbi Yashiv, when you wrote me this question, you added to it a letter from a famous doctor who's considered one of the world's biggest experts in this religion. And he writes that the sar itself, this that they're doing, the hair itself, is not considered the bringing of a karban to their Avodah Zarah, but rather the procedure is being done to show how much they're dedicated to the Avodah Zarah, that they're willing to destroy the beauty of their hair with shame their Avodah Zarah. But since the hair itself is not being brought as a karban for Avodah Zarah, therefore it would seem not to get on it a shame of Avodah Zarah on the hair itself. And he says also the metzius over there is that they cut the hair outside the temple, they're not cutting the hair in front of the Avodah Zarah, and therefore we can add that even according to Rashi, that Rashi holds that you don't need the tnai of Ke'en Pnim, but since the Sar is not being brought in front of the Avodah Zarah as a Dairin, so even according to Sfar of Rabbeinu Yoina, that would not apply here as well. The Biyashiv therefore ends off Uncle Panim in that tshuva that he feels that there is no issue with the hair. However, Luchair, there is an afkamina between the two approaches, Rashi and the other Rishonim, with a story that happened. Someone once went on business across the sea, and he was very hungry, and he told the people he has certain dietary laws, he can't just eat the regular things. They said, what about fruits? And he said, yes, he could eat fruits. They brought in front of him a huge basket full of fruits, apples and pears and so on and so forth. And he was wondering, wow, how did you get such a large basket? Well, they said, well, it's no big deal. Every morning there's a Buddha outside where we bring this basket of fruit in front of the Buddha, and therefore now you could go ahead and eat it. And he said he was so happy that he was saved from the Isser of Takruvus Avodah Zarah. Now, L'chaira, it should be totally in this Machlokes Rashi and the other Rishonim. According to Rashi, we find, if we understand Rashi like Rabbeinu Yoina, when something is brought in front of the Avodah Zarah itself, as a diron, as a present, it becomes Aser, even though there was no Avodah done in the Ke'en Pnim, so therefore by the fruit, the apples and pears as well, even though there was no Avodah done in the Ke'en Pnim, afilu hachi, like Rashi indeed, it should be Aser Midaraisa, of the Isser of Takruvus Avodah Zarah. However, according to all the other Rishayim that hold, they don't agree with Rashi, they hold you always need the Tanai of Ke'en Pnim. Therefore, over here, l'chayr, there would not be an issue of takruvus of a dezara. The Gemara teaches us further, shilzakin asul l'chloidai, if you have a shoe that was made for a zakin, if it's made for him to be takrichim, when he dies, the din is, the chalitza is pasul. Rashi explains that since it's made for takriche misa, and it was not made lehilucha, to walk in and function as a shoe, lav nahu does not get a shame now. Ravina asked Rav Ashi, what is the difference between the case of zakin ha'asul l'chvaydai, that since it's not made for the purpose of walking with, therefore it does not get a shame now, for the same svarad veidina nami, the shoe of the bezdin as well, which bezdin would have a shoe miyuchad for chalitza, it's not made to walk in for, but rather just for the procedure of chalitza, and therefore it should not have a shame now. On this, Rav Ashi answered him, if the shliach bezdin would decide he needs a shoe to walk around in, would the bezdin care? Would they be makbid about it? Of course not. And therefore, it still has a shame now. It's mashia from our Gemara that the only reason why the shoe of chalitza has a shame now is because they would allow the shliach bezdin to walk around with it. And it sounds like as well from our Gemara, the fact that the shliach bezdin walks with it, that is enough to give it a shame now. This Gemara is a kushi atzuma, is a powerful question, what we brought in the previous share on Daf Kuf Gimel from the Nadav Yehuda. The Nadav Yehuda in Eben HaEzer, Simon Salidalid, wrote in one pshat, that the pshat in Amemar, that you have to be doichef the regel on the ground, is because without the yavam pushing his foot against the ground with the shoe, since the shoe of chalitza did not serve in the capacity of a nal, of a shoe, meaning protecting the foot from the ground, therefore will not have a shame now, according to Amemar. If so, according to Nadav Yehuda's pshat, what was the back and forth in our sugya? How come the Gemara comes out that the reason why it has a shame now is only because the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to walk with it if he wants? So we see that what gives it the shame now is the Shliach Bezdin walking, and not the pshat, the Yavam, pushing his foot with it against the ground. Well, Chayra, this is a tzarach in gadol on the Mahalach of the Nadav Yehuda. The Mishnah further teaches us, Chalitz of Alayla of Chalitza is done at night. According to the Tanakhama, the Chalitza is kosher, and according to Rabbi Lazar, the Chalitza is pasul. The Gemara says, Lema b'hakamiflagi, it would seem that they argue in the following point. The Mar Savar makshinan rivim l'negayim, u'mar Savar le makshinan rivim l'negayim. The Hainu Rabbi Lazar holds, the same way the halacha is by a nega that appears on a house. The Pasuk says clearly, u'biyayim hirayis bay. The nega must be seen during the day. So the fact that the Torah puts together riv and nega in the same verse, the Mela teaches us the same way the nega must be seen dafka by yayim, hu adin rivim, adin Torah must be only during the daytime. And since Rashi explains, chalitza is a dinhu, the gaivik suvasa, since through the chalitza process, now she's able to collect her ksuva, therefore, it is considered a din which needs to be dafka b'yayim according to the shita of the Tanakhama. Ask the Karen Ayron Rashi. Rashi seems to say the only reason why chalitza is considered a din is because through the chalitza process, she's now able to collect her ksuva. If that's the case, if so, every get should be considered a din. Because by a get as well, when she gets her get, she's able now to collect her ksuva. Yet the Karen Ayron assumes we don't find anywhere that a get needs a halacha of mishpat, that it must be performed dafka b'yayim. Therefore, the Karen Ira argues on Rashi, and he says, the reason why chalitza is considered a din is because since the Torah says that they must come up in front of the zakenim, in front of the elders, in front of the bezdin, so you see the Torah views it as a din. The Birchas Avram wants to answer for Rashi, that Rashi does not mean to say that every time there's gvias ksuva, so automatically it makes the procedure into a din. Rather, Rashi means to say that from the mere fact that the Torah says that you have to go up to the Zakenim, I could have still said there's a special Xeris HaKasuv that it has to be performed in front of the elders, but not because it's considered like a din Torah. But since through Chalitza there is a collection of Ksuva, if so, now it's mistabit to say that the get, or why the Torah says it should be done in front of the Zakenim, is because they were machshavit like a din. And therefore, it resolves the problem of the Keret Ira. By a get, where the Torah never said to do it b'fnei Zakenim, therefore this, that merely there's a collection of ksuva, that itself by itself does not make something in the category of din. The Gemara then is Marchin. The Gemara says, the Kulei Amma, Leimak Shin Arivul Negam. Really, I'll tell you both, like the Tanakama and like Rebbe Lazar, we are not Makish Rivim to Negam. The Imak Shin Nafil Gemar Din Belaila Namulai. If indeed we are Makish Adin Taira to a Nega, so the Din should be that even a Gemar Din should be Pasul at night. Yet we learned in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that as long as the Tlilas Din was by Yaim, it could be Gemar Belaila. So rather, the Gemara says the Machlekes, Rebbe Lazar, and Tanakama is contingent on a different point. Rebbe Lazar views the Chalitza process like Tchilastin, the beginning of an entire, before the actual Psak. And therefore, Rebbe Lazar says, Chalitza performed by Laila is Pasal. Mashenka, the Tanakama, who says Chalitza by Laila is Kasher, is because he holds Chalitza as Kegmar Din Damya. The way to properly view Chalitza is to view it like a Gemar Din, where Bezdin already is issuing a Psak, and therefore, according to the Tanakama, Chalitza by Laila is Kasher. We have to understand what exactly is the crux of the argument over here, whether to view Chalitza like a Tchilas Din, and therefore it is Pasal at night, or like a Gemar Din, and therefore it is Kasher by Laila. The Birchus Avram explains that we could be masbir this based on a chakira. What is the pshat that we find by Dine Mominis, a Gemar Din Balaila is kasher? One can explain this in one of two ways. One can say, since the Tchilas Din happened during the daytime, therefore there's a svara that since the Ikar Din Tyre already happened during the day, and the Gemar Din just bezdin issuing the psak is happening by night, therefore the Gemar Din is nigrar, is dragged after the Tchilas Din, and therefore we view it as if the Gemar Din as well took place during the daytime. If so, if that is the logic why Gemar Din is Kasher Malayla, this will not apply to Chalitza. Since by Chalitza, the Ikar Din is happening entirely by night, therefore there is nothing that happened during the day to be Geir the Chalitza after it, and therefore it is possible Malayla. And that's Rebbe Lazar's far. The Rebbe Lazar says Chalitza Malayla is possible because it's Daima to Tchilas Din. However, there's another way of understanding why Gemar Din Belaila is Kasher. Perhaps it's Xeris HaKasuv, that only Tchilas Din needs Yom. Mashenkin Gemar Din, there's no Tanai that it needs Yom. And therefore, Chalitza, since it's the Gemar HaDavar, that since with the Chalitza she becomes totally Mutter, so therefore it's similar to a Gemar Din, which is the final Psak, and therefore that's the Shita of the Rabbanan, that the Gemar Din Chalitza is more daima to Gemar Din, and therefore Chalitza is Kasher Balaila. Birch Zavram writes that we find a siyua to the first Svara from the Chiddush Aran in the third parak of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, Divrei Amas Chulchaik, where he writes over there that since there's a Din that you need Yom. If so, how we to understand why is Gemar Din is so Kasher Balaila? Zok Daran Alevade Hainu Taima, the Kema Dehave Trilase B'Yayim, Gamrei Nami Basa Trilase Shadinan Lei, Ukeilo Nigmar B'Yayim Dami. Since the Din is the Trilas B'Yayim, therefore the Gemar Din as well is thrown after the Trilas Din, and it's viewed as if the Gemar Din as well was during the day. If so, we can say this is the Machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Rebbe Lazar. According to the Tanakama, Chalitza B'Layla is a Chalitza Kshera, because he holds Chalitza is more daima to Gemar Din, because the gather of Gemar Din is Kepshutai. The Chalik of Gemar Din, whatever is the Gemar Hadavar, the Torah was Machshir B'Layla. And therefore Chalitza, which is the final blow, this is what's Mater L'Shuk, is considered like a Gemar Hadavar, therefore according to the Tanakama, Chalitza B'Layla is Kasher. Hashenkin, according to Rebbe Lazar, holds Chalitza B'Layla is Pasul, he holds Chalitza is not daima to Gemar Din, because the whole Yisoid, why Gemar Din is Kasher B'Layla, is only because, since it started during the day, over here where it did not start during the day, you cannot apply that Svara, and therefore, Chalitza B'Layla is Pasul. Agav, the Shari Chaim, on the Sefer Gittin, Rechaim Shmulevitz, and Simon Yud Beis, Ais Yud Aleph, brings a very powerful Raya over here, how to view the gather of the Bezdin when it comes to Chalitza. Zotar Chaim Shmulevitz, if it's just a Xeris HaKasav, that it has to be performed in front of the Bezdin, how can we compare it to a Gemar Din or to a Tchilas Din, which is Halacha when Bezdin is issuing a Psak? It must be that the Pshat and the gather of the Bezdin of Chalitza is as if they're paskining on this action, whether this action was a good Chalitza or not a good Chalitza. And therefore, the Gemara could compare it to Gemar Din or Tchilas Din to know whether Chalitza B'Layla is Kasher. The Mishnah continues and teaches us, B'smol chalitzasa psula. According to the Rabbanan, a chalitza that's done, removing the shoe from the left foot of the Yavam, the chalitza is a chalitza psula. The Gemara explains the Pshan, the Rabbanan, because Ula says, you learn how to exer shava, regal me mitzayra, just like over there, the blood must be placed on bayhen, ragle hayamanis, on the right foot of the mitzayra. Also over here, there's exer sakasa by chalitza as well, the shoe must be removed from the right foot of the Yavam. The Rajbo over here brings down that there was a question which the Chachmei Atzfartim had a big suffix about. What is the din of chalitza by a iter regal? Someone whose strong foot is his left foot. The Rajba says there are four options on the table. Option number one is, he as well must do chalitza with his right foot. Since that is the yamin by most people, therefore the shoe must be removed from this fellow's right foot, even though he's really a lefty. Number two, that as far as to say, no, perhaps since by him his stronger foot is his left foot, so perhaps the shoe should be removed from this fellow's left foot. Another tzad is to say, perhaps we should remove the shoe from both his feet. Since it's a suffix, what is the din? And the fourth option the Rajma has is, perhaps he vadai cannot do chalitza because this person does not have a yamin. The Ramban as well over here in his Chidushim talks about this fascinating shaila. And the Ramban says, well, we find by as far as tefillin is concerned, which we know tefillin is generally put on a person's left hand. However, someone who's a lefty, the din is that he places it on his right hand. And shaila b'shtei yadav, someone who has equal power in both hands, he's ambidextrous, the din is he places it on his left hand. But al kopanim, we see by tefillin that a lefty places it on his right hand. If so as well, should we say the same thing applies over here? Since this person's stronger leg is his left leg, therefore the shoe should be placed on his left leg. However, the Ramban then is mancha this proof, and he says there is no araya from tefillin to our case. Over there, the entire drasha, why we generally put it on the left hand, is because the Torah says, la'ais al yadcha, which we darshan to mean yad keha, the weaker hand. And since an iter yad, a lefty, his weaker hand is his right hand, therefore it's included in yad keha, the weaker hand. However, by chalitza, since there is a din of yamin, a din of the right hand, so perhaps even a lefty cannot go ahead and put it on his left hand. The Ramban then writes, we find when it comes to a kayin, as far as a mum is concerned, the Mishnah Mesachus Becheiris and Af Mem Hei Amad Alv teaches us, Hashaylet Bishte Yadav, someone who's ambidextrous, Rebbe Paisel Bachacham Mashirin. Rebbe says it's a problem, but according to the Chachamim, he's still a kasher kayin. And we learned in a brayso over there that a iter, bein biyad, bein biregel, pasel, a kayin who's left-handed or left-footed, the din is that he's pasel to do the avodah. If so, Zakhtar Ramban, it's mashma from over there, the Sugyim Becheiris, that someone who's left-handed is not considered that he has a yamin. If so, over here as well, when it comes to this iter regel, he does not have a yamin, and therefore his left hand cannot be considered a yamin. The Ramban then says that that as well is not conclusive, because there are those who explain the Sugyim Becheiris not to mean to say that her iter yad does not have a right hand. And the din is that avodah must be performed with someone's right hand, and this person does not have a right hand. But rather, the kavanah of the Gemara is something entirely different. It is considered that the person is a baal mum, because we view it as if the right hand is getting weaker than the normal, and therefore it's considered like he has a mum. Now, even though we say someone who's ambidextrous is kasher like the Rabbanan, that's because over there we view it, not that the right hand got weaker, but rather the left hand got stronger, and therefore is considered not a balmum. Mashenkin a iter yad, a left-handed person, we view it like his right hand got weaker, and therefore the din is considered a balmum as far as avodah is concerned. But this will not have any ramifications as far as the question of chalit. However, the Ramban in his final analysis takes a step back, because Rashi says, is mashma that the psul of iter yad by avodah, a left-handed kayin, is because there's din yamin by avodah, like the Gemara learns out, in Mesechtes Zvachim Adaf Chaf Dalet Amid Beis, Yad Yad L'Kemitza, Regal L'Chalitza, and someone who is a Iter Yad is considered like he doesn't have a Yamin, does not have a right hand. And since it's considered like he doesn't have a right hand, so therefore, even as far as chalitza, there would be an issue. And therefore, the Ramban comes out, then ein la yamin, ein achalitz klal, he should not do chalitza at all. The kamen she'ein gemar bedavar la yachalitz. If so, it comes out according to the Ramban, that someone who is stronger in his left foot, a left-footed person, is not able to do chalitza. Comes along the Ar Sameach in Perek Dal Mehilchus Yiv Malach Yed Zayin, and he asks a very powerful question on the Ramban. The Ramban assumes, he says, that someone who's a Iter Yad does not have a Yamin, does not have a right hand. If so, according to the Ramban, the din is that if he does Avaida with his right hand, he should be considered Mechal Avaida. It's because we know that din is someone does Avaida with his left hand, he makes the Avaida Pasul. And yet, all these psulim that Iter is mentioned amongst them, the whole psul is only at their Einer Shava Bezair Shel Aaron. Since they're not similar to other Kehanim, therefore they're not allowed to do Avaida. However, it's clear in the Sugyim Bechairis that they're not Mechal Avaida. But according to the Ramban Astar Sameach, that he's not considered like he has a right hand, if so, he should even be Mechal Avaida. The Sefer Knesset Rishonim on Masechta Zvachim, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, he answers this question of the Ar Sameach. He explains that the din that you need Yamin is only a din as far as the mitzvah of Avaida. However, the psul and the chil comes about is because if it's a positive halacha that it's considered a left hand. He says, therefore, even according to the Ramban, that a iter yad lacks in the mila of yamin, because yamin has to be not only that side of the body, but has to be the stronger hand, but he says it's still not considered like the Ramban to be smile, and therefore, even according to the Ramban, though he cannot do the Avaida, however, it is not Mechal Avaida either. The next Mishnah we have Machlekes between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Akiva, fascinating Machlekes. Where in the chalitza process, there was a chalitza done, the removal of the shoe, and there was a kriya, the reading of the psukim, v'avolei rakaka hayavama, the yavama did not spit. What is the halacha? According to Rebbe Lazar, since the yavama did not spit, therefore the chalitza is rendered a chalitza psula. Mashenken, according to Rebbe Akiva, he says, no, the chalitza is still considered a chalitza kshera. Rebbe Lazar says to Rebbe Akiva, I don't understand, it says in the pasuk, kacha yaseh. This is how it should be done. We know kacha is always leikuva, always ma'akiv. And it says kacha yasa. Anything which is an action is ma'akiv. If so, spitting as well, which is an action, should be ma'akiv in the chalitza process. How could you, Rabbi Akiva, hold not this way? Rabbi Akiva answers Rabbi Lazar, Misham raya ledvarai. If anything, from that very proof you brought is a raya to me. All it says in the pasuk is kacha yasa leish. So it should be done to the man. Kol davishu ma'isa b'ish. Therefore, the proper reading of the pasuk is only thing which is a direct action in the man, the hainu, removing the shoe, where the isha does an action in the actual guf of the man by removing the shoe off his foot. Ashenkin rikika, spitting, which is not an action directly in the man. Therefore, Rebbe Akiva says it is not ma'akiv. The Aruch Lanera over here brings down most beautiful pshat in this Sefri that we could explain based in the sugya of our Gemara. On the pasuk by Chalitza where it says, the Yarka Bifanov, the Sefri comments, Yachal Bifanov Mamish, you might think that she has to spit in his face, Mamish, that the spittle must touch the Yavin's face. Talmud Leimer Le'ene HaZakenim. The pasuk just says it has to be in front of the eyes of the Zakenim. Mikan Amru, from here they said, Chaltza v'kara v'lai rekaka. If chalitza was done and kriya was done, but not the spitting, Rabbi Lazar paisel Rabbi Akiva machsher. Rabbi Lazar says it's pasel, but Rabbi Akiva says it is kasher. Asked our lener l'chara, the words of the sefri are tamuim. What connection is there between the beginning of the sefri and the end of the sefri? The sefri says that since yarka doesn't mean b'fan of mamish, from here they said that if the chalitza was done and she didn't spit, Rabbi Akiva is machsher. He says, according to the sugya of our Gemara, it's beautiful. Since, according to the sugya, the only reason why Rabbi Akiva was able to be machshir without spitting is because he darshins only something which is a ma'isa in the guf ha'ish. So that's good if the din is that the spit does not have to actually touch the face of the man. So then we could say that rikika, spitting, is not considered ma'isa b'ish, a ma'isa in the man. It's not with the guf of the person. However, if the pshat in Yarka would be literally Yarka Bafanovich Minkipshutai, that the spittle must touch the face of the Yavam, If so, it would take on the same status like the removal of the shoe, whereas there's an action in the Guf HaAdam. If so, now the Sefri fits like a glove. In the beginning of the Sefri darshins that you should know the Yark of Mephana does not mean literally in his face. It just means in front of him, in front of the Zakenim. Mikat Amru, from here they said that according to Rabbi Akiva, that if a chalitza is done without spitting, it is not ma'akev because it does not lack as far as being a ma'isa b'ish, an action which is done in the guf of the person himself. The Mishnah later teaches us, Chalitza b'shloisha v'nimtza echa mehem karav apostle. If the chalitza was done in front of three dayanim, and one of the three dayanim is found to be a karav, a relative, or apostle, the din is the chalitza is invalid. Rashi explains, why is the chalitza apostle? Because when you have three dayanim, and one of them is found to be a karav apostle, shuv leka rak shnayim dayanim ksheir, we're only left with two kasher dayanim, and like the Mishnah itself said right before this, that with two dayanim itself, the chalitza as well is pasul. The Kavod Ha'aris, Rabbi Chanan, and so enticed Rabbi Kiv Eger on Mishnayis, bring down that the Mishnah L'melech in Parakeet Aleph Mehilchus Eidus, which over there I did not find the Mishnah L'melech. However, if you look in the Mishnah L'melech in Parak Tez Zayin, Halacha Hey of Hilchus Eidus, over there you could find this that they say. The Mishnah L'melech is medactic in the words of Rashi in our Mishnah. The Mishnah L'melech says there's a fundamental question. We know when it comes to witnesses, the Mishnah in the end of the first parak of Makkos teaches us that if someone comes with 100 witnesses, and one of these witnesses is found to be a karav apostle, a relative to one of the litigants or apostle, the din is that not only is he apostle to say testimony, but he actually renders the entire kat, the entire group, now becomes apostle. And there's a question in the Achrayinim, does this same halacha apply when you have a group of dayanim, a group of judges, and one judge is found to be a karav apostle, would it render the other dayanim apostle as well? Zakta Mishnah Mel from Rashi and our Mishnah would seem that by dayanim we do not apply this din of nimtza echamim karav apostle kulam b'tela. Because Rashi says that when one of the dayanim is found to be apostle, the reason why there's an issue, Rashi says, because now you're only left with two dayanim. Mashma from Rashi, the only problem is that since you lost one, you're only left with two, and we need at least three. Mashma, if you would have started off with four dayanim, according to Rashi, there would be no issue, even though it was nimtza echamim karav apostle. And we don't say that the halacha of Bezdin follows similar to the halacha of Eidus, the nimtza echamim karav apostle, Eidus and Betela. However, the Kavod Ha'aris brings down that the Shaul Tshuva's HaRashba in Chelek Vav, Simen Vav, writes Beferish, that even by Dayanim we do apply this Yisayit of Nimtza Echamim Karav Apostle, and they passels up all the other Dayanim as well. We have to understand what exactly is the crux of the Machaikas here between Rashi and the Rashba, whereby Rashi comes out, he holds that there is no din of Nimtza Echamim Karav Apostle when it comes to Dayanim, when it comes to judges, and yet the Rashba feels the same way, that by Eidus there's a din, that if one is found to be Karav Apostle, Eidus Kulam Metela, who adin this applies to Dayanim as well. Perhaps one way to understand this is based on what we find the Chakira, how to understand exactly how does this work, this Yisayit by Eidus, that if you walk into Bezin with 100 Eidim and one is found to be a Karav Apostle, so that it renders the entire Kat Apostle. We find two mahalchim in this. In Shaul Tshuvas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Simen Kuf Chaf Dalet, he brings down B'Shem the Nesivas to explain the Gedr HaDavar is that the Psul is Nespashet B'Chol HaEdim. Since they come together as one group, therefore when one of them is found to be a Kar of a relative or apostle, his Psul spreads throughout the entire group. And therefore all of them have that same status like this individual. However, the Rosh in the end of the first parak of Makkos brings down that together is Eidus Shebatel Miktsasa Batel Kula. We know when it comes to testimony, the din is that if part of the Eidus is Nispatel, falls off, so the entire Eidus gets thrown out. So who I didn't over here, if one person is found Karav Apostle, one of them is found to be Apostle, therefore it disqualifies everyone else as well. According to this, we can explain the Machlekes, Rashi, and the Rashba. According to the first explanation, that together is the psul is nispashet, whatever psul was on this individual, since they're mitzurv together, there is one group, therefore the psul spreads throughout the entire group like a disease. If so, we can understand this is not limited to Eidos, but rather the Rajba felt this could apply to Dayanim as well. Dayanim are coming together as a group, and therefore we learn that from Eidos the same way over there. The Torah is mechadish to us that the soul of one Eid spreads throughout the group. So then when it comes to Dayanim, if one of them becomes Pasul, that soul spreads throughout the entire group of Dayanim. However, according to the Rush's explanation, that the gather of Nimtza Achim Karav Pasul is Halacha, like Eidish Abatla Miktasa Abatla Kula, that an Eidus where some of the Eidus falls off, so we know that the other Eidus is Pasul as well, so this Halacha is specifically an Eidus. When it comes to testimony, we find this concept. We don't find this concept when it comes to Dayanim, and therefore, when it comes to Dayanim, Rashi held, we do not say this Yisoid of Nimtza Achim Karav Pasul Eidus Kulan Betela. The Gemara continues, and Rav in the first Lashon says, Hashta the Chazinam from the Mishnah B'di'evet, if there's no Kriya of the Psukim of Chalitza, the Chalitza is still valid. If so, a Ilam V'Ilemes, a Yavam who is mute, or a Yavama who is mute, who can't talk, Shechaltu, when they did a Chalitza, Chalitzasing Sheira, the Chalitza is still valid. Rav explained that the Mishnah of Cheresh and Chereshes, which are Psulim, is not because they're not able to do the Kriya, but rather the Pshat is, Lav v'nei deyaninu. A Cheresh we know, where Chazal talk about B'chol Makim, is a someone who not just cannot hear, but he cannot speak as well. Cheresh shedibu b'chacham b'chol Makim, enay shemeya ve'enay medaber, and he lacks in the level of Das. And therefore Rav explains, that's the Pshat, why Cheresh and Cheresh is Chalitza is possible, not because they can't talk, because the Halacha is, the Rav says, that we find that Kriya is not ma'akiv. Ask the Gemara on Rava, but didn't the Rav Yame tell us that the psul of Cheresh and Chereshes is because Einai ba'aymer amra? Since neither of them can talk and say the psukim, therefore it is pasul. Now Taisus in the Sugya asks on Dvei Rav Yanai themselves, why was it so simple by Dvei Rav Yanai that the proper understanding of Cheresh and Chereshes in the Mishnah, the reason why it's pasul is because Einam ba'aymer amra? They can't say the psukim. Well, Chayra, why didn't he understand like Rava? The Cheresh and Cheresh are possible in the Mishnah because they're not B'nai Deya, like you find in other places that they're not considered B'nai Deya. And we learned later on in Masechtas Yevamos and Afkuf Vav Amud Aleph, the halacha is, but Inan Sheyiskabni Shneam, we need a level of Das, and they're not B'nai Deya. Taisus answers that Dvei Rav Yanai understood that the case of the Mishnah is talking about every case, even in a case where Bezin is standing al gabam on top of them, and they're telling him exactly what to do by the Chalitza for it to be a Kasher Chalitza. And therefore, as far as the issue of Das, there would be no issue. Taisus says we find this concept as well in Masechtas Gittin on Daf Chaf Beis on the Beis, where the Gemara teaches us that a Cheresh Shaita V'Katan, who write a get, as long as a Gadol is Oymed al gabayim, a Gadol is standing over them and teaching them how to do it, the get is kasher. And therefore, according to Dvei Rav Yanai, Cheresh and Chereshes would not be an issue of not being B'nai Deya, and therefore, Al-Kach Cheresh and Chereshes that are Pasul could only be because they're not B'Aymer Emra. Taisus, however, says, I agree, that though by a get I'm willing to go ahead and be Machsher a Shaita, if a Gadol is Oymed al gabav, however, Taisus says, this is where I draw the line, that when it comes to Chalitza, such a thing would not be kasher. Because since by Chalitza there are ribui dvarim, there are many things that are going on, and he doesn't have his own das, he's just doing what Bezin says. So Bishlana by a get, where the Gadol tells him what to do, and we see that he understands, because after all he's writing the get lishma, he's writing down the name of the man, he's writing down the name of the woman, he's writing down the name of the cities, and therefore we could rely upon this by a get. Mashiankin Taisus says that when it comes to a Chalitza, a real Shaita, he would never allow, just a Cheresh and Chereshes, but a real Shaita, he would never allow to go ahead and do Chalitza with a Gadol Oymed al Gabal. So it comes out from our Taisus and Masechtas Yevamos, Taisus holds that even by a Chalitza, a Cheresh and the Gadol Oymed al Gabal works similar to a Get. Taisus just says a Shaita does not work by. However, the Rajba and Masechtas Chulin on Daf Yubayz brings down B'Shem Rabbeinu Yoina, that anything which is possible to be done through a shliach, so over there we apply that huadina gadol ayimed al gabav works. Masha'enkin Rabbeinu Yehuda writes, when it comes to chalitza, since when it comes to the chalitza process, it does not work through shlichus, therefore huadina cannot work with a gadol ayimed al gabav. We have to understand what exactly is the site of this machlokes over here between Titus and Rabbeinu Yoina. Do we say that by chalitza, since shlichus does not work by chalitza, so hu adin does not work with gadol ayman al gabav? Or do we say that no, by chalitza as well, gadol ayman al gabav could work? Would seem that Rabbeinu Yoina and Titus argue in a very fundamental question: what exactly is the lamdis of a gather of a gadol ayman al gabav? One could understand the gather of gadol ayman al gabav in two different ways. Either pshat is that the action is viewed as the action of the katan, the cheresh, the shaita, who is writing the get. Just the issue is, we need a kavana, we need the kavana lishma that needs to be done a yidei, a gadol. And what we say is that gadol ayman al gabav works, that the kavana of the gadol is mitzurif together with the action of the cheresh, shaita, the katan. And since he's doing it based on what the gadol is telling him, so there's enough of a connection between the two that the machshava of the gadol could work together with the action of the cheresh shaita v'katan. And so brings the Atar Shmuel on Masechtos Gittin and the Chaf Beis on the Beis such a svara. Or perhaps that is not the gather of gadol ayman al gabav. Perhaps the gather of gadol ayman al gabav works like it says in the Kiryas Melech Rav, from the son of the Machna Ephraim in Perek Gimel, Mehilchos Gerushin. That it's considered that the Gadol is doing the entire action. Because since everything is being done based on what the Gadol is telling the Katan, therefore in the Lashon of the Kiryas Melech, the Katan is only Kekumis V'yad HaKaisev, like a pen in the hands of the one writing it. That of course it's viewed that the person is writing the thing, this is just the tool, how he's writing it. So too over here, since the gadol is ayman al gabav and telling the katan what to do, it's viewed as if the gadol is doing the action and just using the katan merely as a tool. With this we can explain the machlekes Rabbeinu Yoina and Taisus, whether by chalitza such a thing could work. Over here by chalitza, where the din is chalitza, does not work aydei shlichus, but rather we need the yavam and the yavamim themselves to perform the chalitza. So if the lumdus of gadol ayman al gabav is that it's the action of the katan or the cheresh, the shait of the katan, so then it could work by chalitza as well. Just we need a kavana lishma, and therefore since you have the gadol ayman al gabav telling him what to do, and he's being mitzar of his kavana, it's considered the action of the katan, the action of the yavam, together with the kavana of the gadol. Masha Enkin, Rabbeinu Yoina understood, similar to what it says in the Kiryas Melech Rav, that the lamdus of gadol ayman al gabav is as if the action is being performed by the gadol. And this yavam or yavama is just like a kli biyadai, is just like a utensil in his hand, like a kumas biyada kaisei, like a pen in the hand of the writer. And therefore Rabbeinu Yoina says, of course it can't work by chalitza. Since by chalitza shlichus doesn't work, you need the actual yavam and yavam themselves to do it, so then gadol ayman al gabav cannot work as well. Rava says further, Hasha de amik kriya ma'akeves, once you have taught us halacha that kriya is ma'akev, lefikach ilim ve'lemesh shechaltu, chalitzasim tzula. Therefore, if a yavam and yavama who cannot talk or are mute, they do a chalitza, the chalitza is invalid. The Mishnah says that chalitza is kasher without a kriya, that's to be understood like Reb Zeira teaches us halacha, kol aray lebila, ein bila ma'akeves bay, v'chol she'ein aray lebila, bila ma'akeves bay. The din is that a mincha which is brought, if it's 60 sarin, it's able to be mixed properly with the oil, and therefore it is kasher. Even though the Gemara says, im lay bol kasher, even if the evidence you're not bol, it's not an issue, but the din has to be al kapanim roi libila. If someone makes a kabbalah to bring a mincha of 61 sarin, he must bring it as two separate karbanis in two separate utensils, because it needs to be at least roi libila. So what in the Mishnah, by ilayim ve'ilem, since they're not even royal with kriya, the din is the chalitza is pasul. Now the Rambam, in the fourth parak of Yibam, Halacha Ches, writes that a suma, a blind yavam, cannot do chalitza, because it says, v'yarka b'fana, she spits in front of his face, v'ein zeray harayk, and he cannot see the spit. The Magen Mishnah writes that this din must be only l'chatchila, but of course, b'di'evet, it must be kasher, because we know, rikika, the spitting is not ma'akiv. Ask the Mishnah Melech on the Magen Mishnah, but we know there's a din that you need royal bila. And if so, it should be that you need royal rikika. And if so, it should be even likuva. Since in this case, it's not royal rikika, because the yavam is blind, it should be ma'akiv, even b'di'evet. The Arsameach wants to say a tremendous chiddush. And he wants to explain the Pshat in the Magen Mishnah that there is no concept of Raya Labila in such a case. Zakhtar Sameach, the whole place where we find the concept of Raya Labila is like, for example, when it comes to a Mincha. Whereby a Mincha, the purpose of the Mincha is to be brought as a Karban on the Mizbeach. So the din is that since Bishas de Gemara Dabar, the time when you're bringing the Karban itself on the Mizbeach, it is not Roy Labila, it does not have the oil within it, and it wasn't even Roy at that point to be mixed with oil. Therefore, at the time of the Gemara Dabar, the fact that it's lacking in oil is Ma'akiv in Akravas HaKarban. However, argues the Ar Sameach that over here in this case, since at the time of the Iker Gemara Dabar, the Iker time when the Chalitza is taking effect is when the actual shoe is being removed, and that it's not yet the time of Rekika, the spitting is only done afterwards. So since at the time when the action of Chalitza is being done, it is not yet the Zman of Rekika, there's no Halacha to spit yet, therefore there is no din that the lack of spinning is l'ikuva. Rav Shlomo Heinemann in Chelek Bey Simon Samach Gimel comes in defense of the sheet of the Mishnah Melech, where the Mishnah Melech feels that even in such a case, one can apply the concept of Kolaroi Labila, Ein Bila Ma'akeves Bay. He says the Mishnah Melech understood the gather of Roi Labila based on the Rashbam and the Setlis Baba Basra on Daf Pei Aleph on the Beis. The Rashbam explains that since the Torah tells us, bring a mincha, and the Torah as well tells us the idea of being boil the mincha, mixing with oil, Zakhtar Rashbam, it serves like a simon. It's as if the Torah is saying, there's a certain type of mincha I want you to bring. Granted, it's not ma'akiv to you to mix the oil or not. However, but it has to at least be a certain type of mincha. A mincha which has the ability to be mixed. And therefore, the Rashbam explains, when someone brings a mincha of 61 isarim, since it does not even have the ability to be mixed, it's as if he's not bringing a mincha from the right ingredients. It's as if he's bringing it from adashim, from kitnius, from something which is not the right ingredients, not from wheat. And therefore, the Rashbam says, that is understanding why bila is ma'akiv. By the Torah telling us there's a concept of bila, the Torah is signaling to us how type of mincha we are supposed to bring. If so, argues Rav Shlomo Heinemann for the Mishnah Melech, that according to the Mishnah Melech, since the Torah talks about spitting in the face of the Yavam, and the Yavam seeing it, therefore the Torah is telling us what exactly is the Tzura of Chalitza. The Chalitza process must have these components in it. It has to have the ability to have spitting in front of the eyes of the Yavam. And since at the end of the day, this Yavam who is blind cannot see it, therefore, this whole chalitza process is rendered not possible. There's a fascinating Chasam Sefer, which will end with this. The Chasam Sefer says that it says in the Mishnah in Sukkah that a katan, a child who does not know how to shake the lulav in all directions, does not have a mitzvah of chinuch, to be mechanechim in the mitzvah of lulav and esrig. All the achrayim are bothered. Why is that so? The Gemara in Sukkah teaches us, mida'ag bei nafik bei, that as soon as one picks up the lulav and esrog, he's already yaitzei. So even if this katan does not know how to do the nanuim to shake the lulav in all directions, well, let's still be mechanechim for the deraisa of picking up the lulav and esrog itself. The Chasam Sefer explains that since we find this yisaid of kol she'ena roi labila bila ma'akeves bay, the Chasam Sefer says that the same way the lulav has to be able to be shaken, like we find in the Mishnah that the size of the lulav is 4 tefachim, and the extra tefach is kedei l'naneah bay in order to shake it around. Therefore, the Chasam Sefer says the same way there's a din mitzad the chayfetz, the object has to be roi labila, and without that, the object is pasul. Huad in the person taking the lulav and asterisk, he also has to be roi labila. He also has to be able to perform the mitzvah of shaking it in all directions, even midaraisa. And therefore the Chasam Sefer says, this that the Gemara says, midaag bei nafik bei, just picking up the lulav and esrog itself, one is yaitzei, that's only by a person, by an individual, who is roi labila, who is able to shake it in all directions. But since by a katan she'en yadei l'naneya, he does not know how to shake it in all directions, by him it is not roi labila, therefore bila ma'keves bei, and when he picks it up, he is not even yaitzei, the deraisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, argues with this svara. The question that came to Rav Moshe in a tshuva was, there was a sick person in the hospital, he was paralyzed, and the question was, carrying a lulav and esrog for him, for a sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah, does he fulfill the mitzvah, and by is there carrying it for a purpose or not? After all, he could just stick the loaf and esrog into his hands, and he's not going to be able to shake it at all in any directions. So Ramesha says he feels that yes, of course, he's still be mekayim the mitzvah by just holding it in his hand, that is already be mekayim the mitzvah of taking the loaf and esrog. However, the Shoyl says he heard in the name of the Avnei Nezer that it needs to be royal of Bila and he has to be able to shake it. Ramesha says he never saw such an Avnei Nezer. But Al Kapanim, it does come out, according to some Sefer, there is this halacha of royal of Bila, even when it comes to the Gavra, the person who's holding the lulav and esrog, and in such a case, according to the Chassam Sefer, the person would not be able to be yaitze his mitzvah, because kol she'ena royal of Bila, Bila ma'keves bai.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.